I know you guys listen to me every day, but I want you guys to know that I have some 100% documented proof that the Singapore earthquake was actually caused by the Chinese heart machine, which actually is able to speak to Godzilla. Godzilla had a conversation with the heart machine. The heart machine went haywire. It caused the Thailand earthquakes, which then sent a ripple effect to Jersey. And when the eclipse comes over on April 8th, which correlates with the 4.8 Richter scale measurement of the earthquake, the CERN machine will turn on, and then creating a vortex and a stargate will open in Afghanistan, and all of the animals will come through
Afghanistan.
And that's what's going to happen.
I mean, that would literally explain everything. COVID.
It'd explain Trump for sure.
Trump.
We're actually going back in time and creating these wormholes that are causing us the Mandela effect, which in turn, please stay with me, in turn creates parallel universes. Everybody knows that if you were listening to everything I've been saying. Thank you very much.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time. It's that Decoding 40 time. I am your host this week, Vincent Perez, and I am joined here by my two esteemed colleagues.
This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. Lou Gossett Jr., Jr.
This is Alaric.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, shout out to Louis Gossett Jr., one of the greatest actors. Loved him in so many films. He passed away this past week, correct?
Yeah.
Shout out to him, man, and rest in peace, Louis Gossett Jr. See, I'm already stumbling. But anyway, let's do some housekeeping. If you want to reach out to us, send us a text message, give us a call. Reach us at 619-940-4040. You can also hit us up at decoding40@gmail.com. Email us. Let us know how we're doing. If you're a small business out there, you want to sponsor a hot, dope, fresh on the scene podcast, holler at us, man, at decoding40@gmail.com. We could use your money so we can continue to buy more liquor and pay for the cost of the show. If you want to get some of our merch, you can go to decoding40pod.com. You get yourself a t-shirt, hat, mug, or whatever, something comfortable that has Decoding 40 on it. Am I done with that, or did I miss anything?
I was multitasking. I want to believe that you did everything that we needed to do for housekeeping.
Well, I was actually paying attention, and you did a good job.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job, Brownie.
I'll tell you what. smoke them out your holes. Fool me once. Can't get fooled again. that's our last ex-president, George W. Fool me once. Can't get fooled again.
I heard. Sorry. Just to bring up the backstory. The reason why he stopped in the middle of that quote was because he was afraid that the Democrats would use a soundbite about him saying that he had been fooled.
Mm.
So he didn't want to say that. Mm. That's one of his speechwriters.
Can't get fooled again. That's a fun fact. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
Even though he was a fucking fool. But anyway.
Right. That quote came out a lot worse.
He made it worse. He should have just let it ride. You fucking clown. Anyway,
you fucking clown.
Anyway, it's that time, the check-in.
So yes, as usual, I've got my notes. I'm very diligent about my notes now. I'm using the note app in my phone so I don't forget things as they come up. So anyway, Jeff, definitely want to give a shout out to Lou Gossett Jr. And the funny thing, I was thinking about it, I did not like Lou Gossett Jr. as a child, because people used to call me Lou Gossett Jr. Wow. So it used to piss me off. So every time I see him,
since you were a child.
No, but just the way my face and the skin tone, I used to get called Louis Gossett Jr. But in honor of his passing, I went ahead and watched An Officer and a Gentleman.
Great.
I hadn't seen this movie easily in 30 years. It's a really good movie.
Mayo.
And if he didn't get an Academy Award for that portrayal, nobody deserves an Academy Award. Like, he was so good in that movie. It was ridiculous. Deborah Winger was kind of sexy. I was like, wait a minute. I'm used to seeing her in the older films in which she just looks, I don't know, washed up, but she looked good. So that's that on that. Just in terms of a quick rant, I would love to co-sponsor legislation that bans gender reveals. I think people just need to say we're having a boy or girl or X or XY, because where we at now as a society is out of control. I saw one the other day where they have fighter jets who are commissioned to release the smoke of the color, either blue or pink. And I'm saying to myself, what are we doing?
There was one, I think it was a smaller plane. It wasn't a fighter jet, but it was a smaller plane hired to release the smoke. And it actually crashed and the pilot died.
This is what I'm saying.
Hold up. We know that your baby's coming back as that pilot.
And he's going to terrorize you. This is what I'm saying. People are losing their lives over a gender reveal. This is
wildfires being started by gender reveals.
It's ridiculous.
Right. I remember that. So there's that. I got to give a shout out to my son who had a comedic moment. We were watching a basketball game. And, you know, during halftime, they have these usually local talent that comes and either performs or plays a mini game in between the quarters. So there was a league of wheelchair players, and he goes, "Oh, traveling."
Oh shit! God, I love that shit. That's my nephew right there. That is my nephew.
I was like, I just shook my head. I was like, I don't want to encourage this, but it was funny. He hit it.
Your youngest, your oldest?
The youngest.
Oh, yeah. I knew. I figured it was him.
Hit it on the nose. And I was like, wow. As soon as the dude just rolled across the court, he was like, oh, traveling.
That fucked up, but so funny.
Right.
His fucking kids.
So, right. I was going to talk about the eclipse. Probably not going to watch it. I was surprised to see that MSNBC is going to have a whole morning dedicated to this.
Of course it is.
This is weird behavior. We don't even believe in science for the most part, but we're going to dedicate an entire half a day to see the moon come in front of the sun. Okay. I don't remember ever having this much to do about this when we were growing up.
I do remember growing up, there was one eclipse, but it wasn't like this. But we got a 24-hour news cycle now, so they got to fill up this time and make us excited or scared or frantic about something,
or both.
All
the above.
Another quick rant. I am tired of people basing their knowledge over 30 to 60 second clips. We are just getting dumber as a society. There's a 3 second clip. I don't know if you guys saw this, about a soccer player, and there's a black kid who has his hand out and he's trying to give him a high five, and the guy turns away from him and towards another white kid. The kid that's trying to give him a high five is a black kid. Turns out he genuinely looks like he just did not see or didn't realize that the kid had his hand out for him for the high five. And there's pictures of them taking pictures together, arm in arm, laughing, smiling, the whole nine. But there's a quadrant of the internet that has suggested that this soccer player needs to be canceled for not giving this black kid a high five. So first of all, I'm saying we don't even have the full context of what happened. It's only about 4 or 5 seconds in this clip. Secondly, I say that and people start calling me Uncle Tom, a stupid motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah. I get it, because there's anonymity. But the fact that you all are basing your opinion on this short clip is absolutely asinine.
Like, so, the soccer player say, "Get away from me, little nigglet!"
Right.
You have to make up your mind, Leon.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah, there's three whole seconds, and you should be able to get all the information you need from that.
And there's no ability to research the clip further. It's just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, another side, you know who's really kind of fueling this? Mark Lamont Hill is now inviting trolls on his live stream so they can explain themselves when they like kind of go after him.
Do they have to show their face?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I bet you they're not, a lot of them are signing up.
I've only seen two. And the two that did were willing to get on and make a fool of themselves. The first guy, he's a super Trump conservative, and he was like calling Mark a shill for the Democratic Party. Turns out Mark has only voted for the Democratic Party once in 24 years, and he's a part of the Green Party. So the guy goes, well, it's basically the same thing. So he goes, well, it's not, but tell me why you think it is. I don't have time to get into the weeds about this, Mark.
Why come read? Why?
So it, and that is sort of like fueling this idea, like people do not want to be educated or informed. They just want to be heard, saying whatever it is that pops into their mind. And it is, this is where we are. This is the state of the union, people. Quickly, I listened to part of Cowboy Carter. It's okay. I heard J. Cole's 7-minute drill. I'm disappointed. And my son soccer team won on Saturday. I wish parents from that soccer league listened to the show, because there was one parent in particular who was talking to the goalie on our team. And I'm like, you are absolutely distracting him. Why would you talk to him while he's playing goalie? So much to the point, you could see what he was trying to give him constructive criticism, I'm sure. But you could see the kid's disposition changing and his confidence waning. And I was like, this is the wrong time to be telling him this. And right. It distracted him so much. He thought he was being subbed off of the field while play was in action, while the other team was kicking the ball down the field towards the goal, but he had already run away from the goal to the sidelines. And I'm looking like, where you going? Where you going? Where you going? And thankfully, another kid on the field had the wherewithal to sort of back up the goal, not back up, but stand in as goalie and block the shot. But I was like, man, parents really do too much. This is why I stopped like talking to my son when he's on the field. When he comes off the field, I'll give him some pointers. So he'll ask me, or he'll say what he thinks. But that's it. Oh, yeah, real quick. I have watched the entire Daniel Craig James Bond series this week. Daniel Craig is the best James Bond ever. Yes. Go at your mother. Don't come for me.
I wouldn't say he's the best.
He's clearly second to Sean Connery.
I say Roger.
Look, you said Roger Moore. You said Sean Connery. No, that's a Sean Connery. Nope, it's not going to happen. Not on my check-in. This is Leon. That's my check-in, and I'm done speaking.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ben from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
Quick check-in and update. My dad is back home. And he's going to be doing hospice from home. He actually looks a lot better than he did 3 weeks ago. I think when he heard them write him off, it pissed him off. And he started his Rocky montage. And he started eating. He started walking up and down the hallways in the hospital with his walker. But, you know, he's still moving slow. And he's officially retired now. And, you know, he's just going to ride out the rest of his days, and we're going to try to make him as comfortable as possible. I tried to go to see, like, it's an assisted living facility, and it's more like a senior living community, and it's out by where you used to live in Malvern, but it's in Lynbrook. It's right along Ocean Avenue. It's called the Atria. It's really, really beautiful place, but I don't think it's going to be the right place for him. As I was taking the tour with this, you know, very nice lady, she made it a point to tell me that, oh, and just so you know, there is one other black gentleman.
look, we do have a black.
Yeah. And I actually was grateful for her sharing that information, because I would not have asked if are there any black people here? I wouldn't have asked.
You would not have asked?
Just out of being polite, I would not have asked. I would have looked at
that. Okay, well, I'm glad.
Your father would have called you like 3 days later and been like, Rick, they're putting raisins in the potato salad. What type of white shit you got me in, boy?
But here's the other thing that felt completely normal. almost all of the staff was Jamaican, except for the maintenance garden, the groundskeeper, who was Latino. I was like, is this a fucking sitcom happening here? Like literally, it was like every stereotype you could imagine. But, you know, it's a stereotype for a reason, I guess, because it's a reality somewhere. But it's a nice place. I don't think it's going to be the place for him. I think he's going to be much more comfortable at home. And they're not a nursing home, so he has to be able to do for himself. And it's wildly expensive. It's wildly expensive.
That's a fact. You want to talk about a good business to get into?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you can support the staff, if you're going to open a hotel, this is definitely a better business than a hotel. Because you're going to have the same amount of staff, maybe a little bit more, because you got to cater to older folks, maintaining the grounds. But man, I'm talking about like for a one bedroom suite, it's almost $10,000 a month.
Jesus Christ.
Almost $10,000 a month. Obviously, we were looking for the studios. But
can you get a roommate with that other block?
Is there any way we could just put a bed in the hallway?
One of them lounge chairs in the common area.
How much does that go? How much for a lounge chair in the common area?
Fuck. Yeah. And that's how you get my father to take his walker and walk from Lynbrook to Brooklyn and try to fuck me up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're still on this journey. And that's all I have to say about that this week. But recently, so before I had a baldy, I had locks for 12 years. I went to the barber, cut them. This was almost 15 years ago. The other day I decided I'm kind of wolfing. My head shaver wasn't charged. Let me just go to the barbershop real quick and get a shape up and get my head shaved and shave my beard and all that. And I forgot how much of a luxury going to the barbershop was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got the hot towel. I got the invigorating facial massage. I'm like, wait a minute. I've been doing this wrong. And then like the other day, so this was like 3 weeks ago that I went to the barbershop for the first time in 15 years. And then the other day, I was a little early for the meeting I had. And I'm passing the same barbershop and I look inside just as I'm driving by and the barber's in there. And I'm like, I got an extra 20 minutes and it's early in the morning. So nobody else is in the shop. And then I think I'm addicted, bro. I think I'm going back. I think I'm going to start going to the barbershops again, which seems crazy because
it's really just
my beard and mustache and shave my head. But I get to lie back in the chair and get pampered for a little bit.
Exactly.
Spoils.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
I used to do that, particularly when I was downtown at WeWork. There was a pedicure and manicure salon across the street every other week, lunch. That's where you find me.
If they had a manicurist in there, I'd probably do that too. Yeah, I think that's
the whole
thing now.
It matters.
It does. Last thing, we've been talking about Tokyo Vice the last couple of episodes, and I have a confession to make. I have not actually successfully gotten through more than two episodes. And it's not because I don't like the show. Here's what happens. Well, two complete shows. Here's what happens. It's usually at the end of the evening after the kids are gone to bed. And I say, I'm going to catch a couple episodes of this. I put it on. I fall asleep. I wake up at 4 a.m. and it's on episode 6, right? So now I've seen a little bit of episode 6. When I go back to watch, like, I don't want to go back to all the way back to episode 2 because I know what's happened in the meantime and I'm already on episode 6. So I was like, all right, I'll start at episode 4 and fill in the blanks. And then I fall asleep and I wake up and it's 3 a.m. and it's on episode 6 again, right around the same place where I fell asleep. So I'm like, all right, I cannot start from the beginning. So I'll fast forward episode 4 to the middle, just about the place where I fell asleep. And I don't even make it 10 minutes. Mm. I don't even make it 10 minutes. And then it's trying to put me in season two the next time I turn it on. So
I'm laughing.
I'm an attraction for season three.
Right. I'm laughing because that's exactly how you watched Gang of London. When we were in Lisbon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Fall asleep. It'd be like,
yo, if I walk out into the living room, this dude would be knocked out in the chair with the TV, like watching him basically. That's hilarious.
Yeah. That is how I got through that series. If I watch it during the day, if I have time to actually watch it during the day, I'm good. If it's after 8 o'clock, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. And then it's a very slow pace. So it is the perfect sort of show to lull you into sleep.
Yeah. I should nap before I start watching series.
I would recommend that.
Yeah.
With a cup of coffee.
And it ended. The second season ended last week. It was a good ending.
All right. Looking forward to catching up on it someday. That's my check-in.
Recording 40. It's your boy Murder Death Kill, you hear me, son? If you like listening to the motherfucking show, son, make sure you subscribe to Coda 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and motherfucking TikTok, son.
As I promised last week, I would go into episode 5 of
El Problema en Trabajando.
So, like I said last week, I got called in to report to the big office on Friday, right? You know, everybody was kind of speculating what was going to happen. I was getting a lot of hearsay about what went down and how people had to write certain reports, this, that, and the other. My meeting, I was supposed to be there at, I think it was 11:45. I got there at like 11:30. I walked in, knocked on the door, was like, I'm a little early. Is any way we can, like, I can come in right now? So I go in there, and I was literally there for 10 minutes. They hand me a piece of paper. I write down, basically, I have no knowledge, or did I, what did I say? I have no knowledge, or nor did I see any alleged problem between these two individuals. Signed my name, crossed out everything underneath my statement, had a conversation with a representative there, union representative there. The conversation with the union representative was longer than my actual statement. It took longer for me to talk to him before it didn't actually write the statement. I wrote the statement in like 2 minutes, hand it to the guy. I give it to the big boss. The big boss goes, well, you basically said what you needed to say. I don't have any questions for you. And I walked out, all of them in 5 minutes. It took me 10 minutes to do this.
Mm.
The great thing is that I got paid for the day.
Absolutely.
I got paid actually for the job I was supposed to do that day,
which
was
like a
12-hour job. Right. So, hey, right. Great. That was basically it, man. So as of right now, I guess they're still going to do some more investigating. I really don't know. My part is done, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. But
who's going to die?
Who's going to die? I don't know if anybody's going to die in the show. I mean, in the show, in the real life. But
yeah,
I hope that the snitch, the one who's writing these emails, I don't want them to die. I just would like them to get some sort of firing, maybe, but not die.
Hmm.
But, they should be reprimanded somewhat, because they're creating an environment outside of what was already created by these two other individuals. They're just creating an environment of animosity. Our class name is already mud because it's going
right. And putting putting a cloud
on the whole class,
on all of you, jeez,
on all of us.
Oh,
so that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I had some really weird dreams this weekend. I don't know if it was because of the earthquake that we had on Friday. If you live in the New Jersey, New York, tri-state area, well, not including Connecticut, but Pennsylvania felt it. Definitely in Jersey where I am, and some of New York felt it. From my understanding, the five boroughs felt it. I don't know if it's the earthquake or what, but I had the craziest dream on Friday night going into Saturday. Right. The dream I had was, for some reason, I was on vacation somewhere, or maybe I don't know if I was on vacation, but I wasn't working. And I had over a pound of marijuana in this dream. And in the dream, I'm smoking this weed and I'm having a great old time. I'm smoking away. And in the dream, I realized, oh, shit, I got to go back to work. And I literally woke up in a cold sweat, like, oh, I'm gonna get fired. They gonna drug test me. I'm smoking weed in my dream. I'm dirty. It was like I was in another dimension smoking weed. Like I was getting really high too. I woke up. I was like, oh shit, I'm feeling a little high right now. I wasn't even smoking weed, but I had a crazy dream. And then Saturday, I had an even weirder dream that I was driving. And I don't know if it's because of what the upcoming eclipse and just being, you know, inundated with all of that shit that from TikTok and everything else. I had this dream. I was driving down this road. I wouldn't be parallel to my house, but it's the major throughway that comes down my through my neighborhood. And it was full of potholes. And I'm driving and this car next to me hits this fucking pothole, goes into the pothole and starts flipping. Like, I don't know what type of pothole this was, but it literally swallowed the car and the car starts flipping and I'm trying to get away from the car. But as the faster I drive, the faster the car starts to flip until I slam on the brakes and it just kind of goes in front of me and it just bursts into flames. So I don't know if I'm having these Inception type dreams, but I woke up again, like feeling kind of paranoid. One, I feel like I'm dirty from even smoking weed in the dream. And next thing, I'm having these weird ass dreams where, you know, this car is flipping and everything like that. But other than the crazy dreams I had, I've had a pretty easy going weekend. Didn't do too much. My youngest is now working part time, part full time, because on the weekend she's working like 8 hour shifts. So, I cooked her some breakfast this morning. I took her to work yesterday. I took her today. Well, actually picked her up yesterday, took her to work this morning. Been having some really, really good conversations with her lately. She's 16 now. She's had her first little heartbreak, and our conversations are more adult in nature, which is, you know, I feel where I shine at, because I'm not really good with little kids. But with her, it's just with developing this relationship that I really am holding true and dear to my heart, just because, you know, when you're smoking weed and you just, you know, checked out, you're not the greatest father or the greatest parent. You know, I was just on provide mode, but I'm really enjoying these heart to hearts that we're having. And I was listening to some music today and like so excited, because music tends to kind of bring you back into parts of your life and time frames. And I'm explaining it to her and she's just looking at me. She's like, I love the way you explain old school hip hop to me, because it's like you really lived it. And I'm like, yeah, it invokes these memories and good times. So, you know, shout out to her and shout out to the, you know, great conversations we've been having lately. And other than that, I wanted to wash my dog today because she's really stinking bad. And I've been trying to like comb her out, and she's like, my dog is like, I have a miniature schnauzer, and when you think of miniature schnauzer, you think of nicely groomed dog with the beard and real prim and proper. My dog is a ruffian. She is a ruffian. She doesn't like to be combed or groomed. She don't like her nails to be cut. She just looks like a little mongrel pup. But I love that little shit. And I like, you know, weekends are great because I get to, you know, go for those long walks with her and, you know, spend some time with her. But it's been real quiet around here. I mean, outside of the fucking earthquake, which I thought was a bomb, personally. I thought that the end of the world had come. When I started feeling that shaking, man, I fucking wound up going outside and looking out the windows like, there it is. They've done it. They've did it. They've blown up the world. And my daughter would happen to be in the bathroom at the time. She was like, I thought I was going to die in the toilet, Dad. I'm like, listen, this shit was wild, because I looked out the window. I was like, they undid it. I felt that shaking. I knew it was a bomb. I was ready to go downstairs, get my gun collection and be like, we're out. And where we were going to go, I don't know. I just knew I would have had guns and gas. And because at that point, nothing's worth anything. But thank God it was just an earthquake and it was only a 4.8. Nothing, you know, seriously got damaged. But if you've been listening to TikTok, 4.8 correlates with the day of the eclipse, which also correlates with the time they're going to turn the CERN machine on, which is going to create some sort of cosmic problem. And then we're all dead anyway. But
all right, then fuck it.
You know, but anyway, you know, that's pretty much my check-in this week. I just hope that everybody stays safe during the eclipse. Don't turn into a werewolf or some other sort of alien species. Have gas in your car and be ready, because when they turn on that damn CERN machine, it's over. My name's Vincent, and that is my check-in for the week.
Decoding 40.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to check in on Diddy. If you've been living under a rock inside of a cave that is soundproof, you don't know what's going on, then I feel sorry for you. Allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly because we don't know for fact yet, even though I think the motherfucker did it. Allegedly, Diddy is wilding out. All these years of take that has finally caught up with him. And recently, his house was raided by Homeland Security, where allegedly he has been taping people at his freak-offs or his parties. And there's a list of celebrities who might have been taped by Diddy. I don't know about you guys, but I think that it's probably true because it's not the first time we've heard stories. There's been, you know, you had Jaguar Wright and you've had his ex-bodyguard been in, and there's been all these stories and hearsay stories that have come out, but I don't know. I think that they might have this guy. What do you guys think?
I think as far as the extracurricular activities and the after parties, that's adult business. If there was illegal activity, I'm saying outside of drug activity. Again, if there were illegal activities which violated people, then he needs to answer to that. Mm-hmm. The challenge I have with the coverage is it's not clear exactly what he's being charged with, and he hasn't been charged. So there's a lot of stories, and you know, it's the internet, so it's a lot of supposedly, and I put in quote, humorous takes on what's happening, which on the other side of that could be serious damage to victims who have potentially been victimized by this activity. So I'm of the mindset that I want to see more actual legal action being taken outside of the raids, because I hate to play the what ifs, but we did see people who were charged with high level espionage type crimes treated a lot more calmly by the Alphabet Boys when it came down to them having their residences raided. They weren't even raided. They were occupied for a short period of time and then they left. So yeah, I'm of the camp where I'm not supporting him and I'm not denigrating him. I'm just waiting for more information to come out. Yes, his insurance appears to have paid for the Cassie case to be dismissed or settled, but I don't know exactly what that means in terms of his guilt or his innocence.
I 100% agree with you. And what I find interesting is that stories that mean nothing are now like headline news. Anything that's related to him, headline news. So now it's all about character assassination because they're trying to drag him down first and then maybe charge him and then try him because that becomes part of his character. That's how the world sees him. It's not like you can take it out of, you can take it like if you and I got arrested and they were trying to drag our character, they could take us to another jurisdiction where people don't know us, right? We could take it to another jurisdiction where people don't know us, and maybe we'll get a fair trial. There's not a place in America that you're going to take Diddy where they're not going to know him, where they haven't spent this time dragging down rapper Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Brother,
you
AKA
know how they do that, right?
Yeah.
When you're on top, you're a music mogul. When you're in trouble, you're a rapper. Sean Diddy Combs, this media, they're not slick with it anymore. Like all of their tricks, we see them. We see right through them. We talked about their DEI, how they're using that and masking that as ways to talk about or to villainize Black people. I see right through it. I see right through it. And I think we have to look at what has happened to so many major Black stars. Just recently, one guy got his ass kicked by a white woman. He got convicted. He ran away from her, like literally running from her. Like she was the overseer. He was out. And she didn't get charged with nothing.
Right.
I feel like we have to be cautious in our judgments of these people until we know. Because I don't trust you. You got to provide evidence for me to say, well, this person's guilty. I'm sure Puffy has done something.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not what you say it is, then, you know, you're just making up shit.
Right. And it's not like the government has the greatest track record when it comes to Black people.
Right. And so far, they're talking about adult parties where people consensually came to those parties and apparently consented to taking some very high-end drugs. I didn't know you can mix cocaine with Molly. How would I?
And what do they call it? Pink cocaine.
Pink cocaine.
I mean, there's one thing taking the drugs. I get it. But waking up with Diddy's dick in your mouth, I mean, that might be a problem, son. I mean, you didn't sign up for that.
Well, who said that?
Allegedly.
I'm just saying. If somebody said, I went to sleep and I woke up.
Being diddled.
Being diddled by Diddy.
Then
deep in the middle, literally diddled Diddy.
Right. So actually, you reminded me. There's been allegations of spiked drinks. Like, if that's the case, then that's problematic.
Absolutely.
Right.
If he was pulling a CeeLo, because CeeLo was apparently a couple of years, maybe more than a couple of years.
I vaguely remember the story, yeah.
With the CeeLo thing, yeah. So if it's something like that, that's one thing. If there were any underage or people that was there under their will, like if he was pulling a Rick James and had people in the fucking closet for 2 weeks, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Like these are the things that eventually is going to come out. And I think what they're trying to really do, and again, I don't know whether he did it or not. I'm leaning towards the side of people get very powerful and have a lot of money and they lose their mind. I'm also going to think that maybe how he grew up, maybe how he came up in the business.
You've already convicted him.
I'm not convicting him. I'm giving a reason why quite possibly he might have done that behavior outside of.
You don't see it.
He's innocent until proven guilty. You just said he's guilty.
It's probably why he did it.
unless I hear something else.
I'm not going to sit here and be naive and act like these motherfuckers don't do horrible shit. Okay, this man has been, is a very powerful man.
Let me ask you something.
There's millions of people who wrote books about him.
When was the first time you met Diddy?
I never met him before.
So then how do you know what kind of person he is?
Okay, so everybody who says
how do you know what kind of person
I don't know who's I'm basing it on what everybody else says. If everybody else said that I was a rapist,
you haven't met everybody that he knows.
I'm going to say that more than likely, allegedly, he probably did that shit. And we're going to find out. And
why do you hate Diddy?
What do you think he did?
That's a different circumstance, though.
Why is it a different circumstance?
Because we saw him do it.
It was a tape.
That was one incident.
But we saw him
do it. But we saw at least one tape.
How do you know that was R. Kelly?
Because we didn't have AI and AI images at that point.
You saw that movie with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery. They could have did it. They had video technology back then. I'm saying that's the argument a lot of people were saying.
There was also testimony from victims.
So Cassie's testimony.
People who actually
had a testimony. She just decided to take the check.
Cassie had no testimony because there was no court case.
Because he settled.
Here's the problem. You're saying in America there's a problem because people don't read, right? If I want to sue you, I send you papers. And in those papers, it outlines what my beef is with you, right? That doesn't mean that it's true. That just means that that's
my opinion. This is a man who has swindled thousands of all of his artists, and he decides to pay her, and she had maybe one single.
He didn't pay her.
The insurance paid her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he pays the insurance, and whatever he decided to settle it. The insurance.
He didn't decide.
So the insurance just decided to give her $30 million out of the kindness of their heart.
No, she sued the corporations. The corporations decided to settle.
This is a man whose public image means everything. You think that he would just decide to give her that money or not try to fight it?
He didn't have a choice.
So she wasn't suing him. And he decides.
I think he was named, but the corporations decided to settle.
The corporations who? A bad boy?
It was Revolt. There was one other corporation that was named. I have to look at the paper. But from what I understand, the corporations in which he was a part of at one point, either on the board, I think it was, there's some sort of executive insurance, that in the event that an executive is a part of a lawsuit, named in a lawsuit, then that insurance kicks in. So instead of fighting it, the corporation decided to just settle it. We have no idea what they settled for, but he did not, he would not have had an opportunity.
He had no say. He had no say.
He was no longer part of the board. How would he have had a say?
Wasn't the lawsuit at him?
He was one of the named parties.
Several entities. Right. They were named
exactly
in the lawsuit.
So once they decided to settle, what was he going to be able to do? The case is dismissed.
That nigga did it.
Why do you hate Diddy?
I don't hate him. I'm just saying, come on. When there's smoke, there's fire. Come on, man.
No.
This is not the first. This is not, first of all, this is not the first.
That might have been the whitest thing you've ever said.
The problem is that you're actually doing the thing that you were just talking about. Regardless of information or evidence or new information and evidence, have you believe the meme.
Have you ever read the book by Mark Curry?
I have not. I've watched his interviews. I can say this about Mark Curry, and I've never met him personally, but he was never a big bad boy artist.
He never admitted that. I read his book, and it wasn't like he was an artist. He was just, I guess, one of his
writer
worked with
writer.
His work with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he basically talks about that in his book. And this book is like 10 years old. So my thing is, this is stuff. Listen, I'm not going to act like, oh, he didn't do anything. I think he did something. And I think that now.
But what did he do is the question.
No, but I think it's okay for you to think.
Did he do something illegal or did he do something that you didn't like?
Right. That's exactly
so
right.
So him taping people without their knowledge, that's okay?
There's absolutely no evidence of that because that's a rumor right now.
So that's a rumor.
That's a rumor right now.
They didn't find anything in this house?
What did they find?
Videotapes and stuff like that?
What did they find?
Videotapes of what? Because right now it's a rumor because there's none of that's been released to the public.
Wait a minute. No. Seriously, what were on the video?
Allegedly, they found that he was taping people and he had videotapes and these were other people. His bodyguard was saying, his ex-bodyguard was saying it. I guess he's a liar too. And, you know, that he had videotape and he was taping people without their knowledge. That's the rumor that they're saying.
That's
like he was
rumor.
On some FCC. Okay,
so what's the truth?
I don't know. I didn't say I knew the truth. I'm just saying that's what they're saying. He has videotapes. We're all going to see. And when I'm right, you can say Vin was right.
Okay. All right.
He probably killed Tupac. I don't know what to believe, but a person that has been in the industry who's had multiple accusations thrown at him can't be that clean. One thing I didn't hear is that there was anybody underage that we know of.
What is
cool.
Clean? There's no way. There's no way you can tell me that Diddy is the dirtiest person in the music business.
No, I'm not saying that. There's a whole list of people that are dirty like him.
Right. And where are the white executives that have been taken down in a similar fashion?
What happened to Weinstein?
Weinstein was one, and he's a Jew.
Whoa, said the J word.
I'm just saying. as rich and as powerful as Weinstein was, he still wasn't one of them.
Who else are we talking about in the music industry?
I mean,
Clive Davis. Well, he's a vampire. They'll never take him down. He eats babies for lunch.
It would not take much to convince me of that. That's true.
He's a fucking vampire. He probably has Whitney. He has Whitney Houston's soul in a box.
When you think someone who could still have a party after they find out supposedly one of your closest friends and artists has died. And you still go on with the party and the death occurred just a few flights upstairs? That's a wicked person to me.
Who, Clive?
Well, yeah. The party didn't start after she died.
Okay, but it still went on. I'm like, okay, at this
shout
point.
Shout out to Whitney Houston. Just
we just found out some bad news. Get your Tupperware. We're ending this thing.
He said, get your Tupperware. He was like, do we end it? I don't know.
Yeah, Clive was like, well, I still got 3 hours with this DJ.
Hold up. She was like, she don't block me anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
All right, cake hasn't come out yet.
Listen, the cake hasn't come out yet. I paid a lot of money for that cake. I want a slice. But listen, I don't know what's what. I'm leaning towards that. Again, I don't have court papers in front of me, but I don't know, man. Like this,
because there are no court papers.
All I got is innuendo and conjecture.
Yeah,
there are no court papers.
Okay,
that's why you don't have them in front of you, because there are
papers. You know why I think that? I think that because of all the people he's robbed and everything else in the industry. And I'm talking about Diddy. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that he's robbed and taken advantage of, and there's people wrote books about him and stories about him. I just don't think that he's innocent. I think that he's got some shit with him, and what for whatever reason he's in some freak off shit. He got T.D. Jakes involved, and T.D. Jakes ain't saying shit. I ain't seen T.D. Jakes in the news since that shit. He is somewhere right now talking about, please, please don't swallow me, Diddy. I'm just a beaver. All right. This is the Bishop T.D. Jakes, and when I'm not preaching to my flocks, I listen to the Tone 40. Praise the Lord, and boy, help them boys. About a couple years ago, the FBI, the Alphabet people, decided to do something, or actually they licensed Babel X, which is an organization that creates software that basically spies, right? That spies on social media. It's able to use a certain technology that if you say certain words, you get flagged. And then they start looking into you. And this is something that the FBI put together a couple of years ago, back in 2022. And
the FBI didn't create it.
Well, the FBI didn't create it. They contracted Babel to create this software that would allow them to do that. Something that, you know, is not a conspiracy theory anymore, which, you know, we would always think, oh, this could never happen. But basically, the FBI is trying to create their own version of Minority Report. And if you've never seen that movie, it's with Tom Cruise, where they have these three people who can tell the future and they can stop crime before it happens. But what do you guys think about this? Because recently there's another article about it. We can probably touch on that as well. But what do you think?
I think the fact that they're letting this thing be known publicly is just a warning. I mean, because I don't think this. Do you believe that they weren't listening and hearing and able to gather all of this information before this?
I think there was a different process. I think this makes it more in-house, where they don't have to
absolutely
engage with. Right. Yeah.
That was my next point. Now the average FBI agent can just log on to his computer and get all your shit.
Right.
Before, there was a special team at the NSA that was pulling. That's basically watching everything that America is doing. We knew that after the Patriot Act, we knew that they had big server warehouses listening to every word, and there were certain things that would trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're just letting you know that we are listening, we are watching, and we're going to connect it to your social security number, to your pictures, to your employment history. This is a warning. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
Well,
because they were able to do it.
Based on the article, from what I read, what they're saying is, and I don't believe anything that they say, but what they're saying is that they're only going to be able to look at the surface of what your social media is. So like whatever you post or whatever you have that is public view, because if your posts are private, they're allegedly saying that they're not going to be able to do that, which we all know is bullshit. But that's what they're saying, that they'll only be able to see the surface view. And depending on certain keywords and everything else, then they can then do further searches. But what I don't like is, one, I know that's bullshit because they've been doing this since we had computers. But what I don't like is the fact that you're trusting a human being to actually look up this information and have no prejudice, no racism, no nothing. Obviously, Black folks are always the boogeyman in this country, and they're going to be looking with, you know, at our posts a lot differently than, you know, Sally or Tom. I just think that it just opens the door for another level of fuckery.
But this isn't just about social media, because it extends way beyond that. It's your LinkedIn, could be your emails. They're not saying it could be anything that you've made public online. That could be a dating app. That could be any information that's connected to you. So it doesn't have to be social media. You could have posted nothing on Facebook, nothing on Instagram, but maybe you're talking to a girl in chat on Tinder.
Well, that might be the next level, but based on the article, there was like 10 social medias, and now they're trying to go into,
as they said, as an example.
Yeah, but now that they started that first with like your social media, but now they're trying to basically get into Discord and all these other chats, Tinder as well, all these other things now. When they initially went and got the money for it, they said, oh, we're just going to look at social media. But then, of course, that's never enough because, yeah, we're getting a little bit of information, but we really need to go deeper into it. So there's a lot of, like, basically every day there's a new app. If you really want to know what the new app is, ask your teenage child. They know shit that we don't even know. Facebook's for old people now. You know what I'm saying? Instagram's for old people, right? And they've got apps out there that basically it's like the dark web where they're having these conversations and it's encrypted and all that stuff. But now they're going to try to get into those apps because that's where all the underground supposed shit is.
That's part of the search.
Right. Here's the part that really troubles me. There's a point where technology, security, and surveillance, co-director of the Center for Democracy and Technology Security and Surveillance Project says, the risk of misinterpretation of what people post is high. So the risk is that an FBI agent who misinterprets what you say on social media will then have the ability to come knocking on your door. Mm-hmm. And this is so wild because it connects to when, I don't know if you guys remember, there's a story when Black defendants or witnesses are being recorded in court that the stenographers often don't capture what mm-hmm. the witness is saying exactly,
right.
And gives it another slant or interpretation, which if you go back and read the record could be detrimental to either defendant or a witness if it's misinterpreted to a point where it might be perceived as perjury or just testimony that is damaging. And this, I think, gives license to be able to say, well, there's some gray area here. So this is why we have to pursue this. So throw out the search and seizure constitutional law, because now I don't have to even go into your home. I can just go into your social media or whatever platform that you're on,
right,
in order to create a narrative that you might be a risk to society.
Right. I mean, first of all, stop posting shit publicly. Just stop posting shit. If you're doing, this is a lesson to all you teenagers. You're not listening, you teenagers, dumb teenagers right. who are doing illegal shit on TikTok. Stop doing that shit. Don't record yourself. Don't talk about what you're doing on, because they are watching. You think it's just for your friends or just for the overall public, for them to adore the things that you're doing or to admire the things that you're doing.
Listen,
this is a warning that you're about to get yourself locked up.
It's difficult. It's difficult to even say that to them. Because take for perfect example, the NBA player, Morant. This dude, he gets caught the first time and then does it again. So it's like they're so addicted to that clout that they don't even give a shit that there are people watching at this point. Matter of fact, all of the major police departments have, and matter of fact, not police department, all major companies have a social media department that basically checks to make sure that you're not saying anything against the company or, you know, saying anything secretive about the company. Right. The police department, basically, when they want to catch drug dealers, they fucking find out what the motherfucker Instagram name is. And you find them on Instagram holding a goddamn money phone to his head.
Right. Well, this is going to be even easier because they don't even have to search a specific person. They can just search money phone.
Right. And just keywords. Hashtag, yeah, you're right.
That's it.
You know,
hashtag money phone. And yeah, and now you're on a list. They're gonna be looking into more of what you're doing. And oh, this guy's scamming. Oh, this guy is writing bag checks. All right, we're gonna pass this off to the Secret Service.
Yeah.
Now you're fucked up.
Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is that the follow-up article that you posted, L, was talking about, you know, what's been going on since the inception and how, you know, they've open the door for more social media apps and more ways to catch people. But in true government fashion, they kind of shed some light on just the mismanagement of it. Like you have these people who got these $20-30 million contracts that are working in conjunction with these companies who, A, don't even know how the fuck the shit works and don't even care. And it just leads me to believe how a lot of these contracts that are given out to these organizations and these companies, they'll fucking come after the average person in the hood who got a $20,000 PPP loan. But this motherfucker that gave $30 million to a software company, they don't even know how the software works. They just, hey, it's $30 million, figure it out.
Right. Government waste at its best.
Government waste at its best. But, you know, like you said earlier, Rick, the fact that they're actually saying that they're doing that means that they're way, way deeper.
Yeah. No, they just give us the surface. They don't care about that app. That's why they told you about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's another side to it, that there's a level of incompetency. So I think the reason that this came out is because a whistleblower saw it in the budget. So they had to obviously respond to it, because otherwise it would have just gone under the radar and no one would have known about this. The challenge, though, is when you have incompetent people running these programs, one, you have an instant fall guy, while other people who are more, I guess, focused on what they hope to get out of this program are allowed to kind of work in the shadows. And it's frustrating because the people who are out front really tend to exhibit this inability to manage these projects, these programs, these services in a meaningful way that actually could serve as safety measures for the public. But inevitably, you have these people with ill intentions who are in seats of power, who are able to manipulate them. And then again, we have these problems until we find a whistleblower who can then say, hey, this is what your government has been doing with your information.
Well, be on the lookout in about 5 or 6 years when they're on the fucking when they're fucking testifying in front of Congress.
Right.
And
via Zoom, because they're somewhere in Russia.
Oh, of course.
Nah, it'll be on C-SPAN, and then the next day we'll be worried about Diddy's getting out tomorrow. So it's a Diddy release party.
Well, G-Dep got out, so, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Any last words on the government spying on us? Like, we didn't know that was happening.
They've been spying on us. They're never going to stop spying on us. This thing doesn't matter one way or the other.
Stop sharing all your stuff.
Yeah.
Because we're making it easier for them now.
Stop doing
it. Last words, L?
No, let's go to the new segment.
All right. So the new segment that I'll be doing on my hosting jobs, assignments, because I was told I need a segment of my own. And it's a subject that I hold dear to my heart, is hip hop. What we will be doing when I host is basically looking at This Week in Hip Hop, right, is the name of the segment, guys. What we'll be discussing is what happened during this particular week in hip hop.
This Week in Hip Hop.
April 10th, 1990, two albums dropped, and we're going to be talking about one of them. Two great, dope hip-hop albums. First, Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet. Second being Tribe Called Quest's first album, People's Instinctive Pass of Rhythm. I never can get that title. It's so fucking long. But Tribe's first album, right? It's 1990. Gas was $1.15. For $5, you can get a turkey sandwich, a Welch's grape soda, and two packs of oatmeal cookies, which was one of my favorites. That's why I have high cholesterol to this day. Or you could get four wings, fried rice, houses of ketchup on the wings of rice, Welch's grape soda, a Dutch, another $5, you get a bag of weed. But anyway, so today, you know, I listened to Fear of a Black Planet, and I put on my headphones and I go to walk my dog and I'm listening to this. L said something last week about hip hop. He was listening to something that was like a boom. It brought back that boom bap. I don't know what the artist was. I don't know if it was KRS-One you said you was listening to.
It was KRS, yeah.
All right.
New music.
But Fear of a Black Planet, the way that shit comes in, I felt like a fucking S1W. And I'm literally marching on the street while I'm walking my dog. And I'm getting immediately angry and hyped at this shit, because the way this shit just comes in, that album from front to back is a fucking classic. It's hip hop at its best. Even the track that at the time we thought, oh, it's Flavor Flav, 911 is a joke. It's timeless because 911 is still a fucking joke, but it's just like that album is a timeless album, and it's aged very well. Every song on there, it's like everything is still happening. Nothing has changed, and the album is 33 years old. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. That's my take on the album. What do you guys think about Fear of a Black Planet? What did it do for you? How did it make you feel?
Full disclosure, this was not one of my favorite hip-hop albums, but there are some of my favorite PE tracks are on this album. Welcome to the Terradrome, I think, for me, just sonically, is a incredible track. I actually loved 911's joke when it came out. My issues with Flavor Flav came more post PE than they did while he was the hype man. But I didn't really get into PE until like college, because it signified like that crossover. And I saw more white males getting into PE than Rakim, Nas, Jay-Z, and Biggie. So naturally I just kind of gravitated away. But it wasn't until I think my ears started to get a little bit more seasoned, I guess, that I gave PE a second chance. And I was like, oh, okay, I can see why this album is good. I couldn't appreciate it when it first came out in 90. There was no way. But around 96 and 97 is when I started to really listen to PE.
El just said something that resonated with me, and it was a thing that I was thinking about. There was a lot of tracks on this album. It was probably like the singles that I was really feeling, but like the B-sides, there wasn't a lot of meat. Like for me, It Takes a Nation of Millions was my PE album. That was like, because that one was like front to back. Like I remember that when that album came out, this is 1988, my sister was going to Howard University. She was a freshman at Howard, 1988. And I had the cassette. And this was the first time I bought this cassette of PE, and I'm listening to it over and over and over and over and over again. This is a 4-hour drive to DC. I don't care anything about this college bullshit. So I'm off in my own world. I'm sitting in the car. I'm in the hotel. I'm listening to, this is all I'm doing. It's like listening to Public Enemy. And so I think that's why that album meant a lot more to me, because the very first song that I heard from Public Enemy, it was like Public Enemy number one. And when I first heard it, I hated it.
Wow.
And then Bring the Noise. Once I heard Bring the Noise, that was it. I was locked into PE, and then I went back and listened to Public Enemy number one, and I was hooked. But yeah, it wasn't my favorite album for Public Enemy. But I did like hearing Flavor Flav get his chance to shine. And that's the thing about Public Enemy, is like everybody got a chance to shine. It wasn't just about Chuck D. Terminator X got his track. Mm-hmm. Flavor Flav got his track. S1W's got their track. So, you know.
I like that album for a couple of reasons. And compared to what Tribe did, and compared to like PE was just like in your face. Tribe was very mellow, was a different, sonically, it was a different feeling and sound. But the reason why that album resonated with me is because, shout out to my boy Dre, you know, who's still on the mend. That dude loves PE. I mean, he was a PE head. He had the album. He didn't have the tape. You know, right? He had the album, and he played that shit so much. I was like, why are you playing that shit again? He's like, you got to listen to this, son. This is shit. Like, what are you not understanding? And he's also a fan of Ultramagnetic MCs, right? So cool. That whole sound is very similar. Mm. So he was a big fan of them. So that PE album, man, it was like, I'd go over his house and that should be playing. I'm like, damn, nigga, can we play something else? He's like, no, this is what I'm listening to right now. So shout out to him. And he made me hear that shit over and over again. But that album, like you guys said, I appreciated it, but there was so much other things going on. But when I listened to it today, I was like, yo, these motherfuckers was saying some shit.
That is absolutely true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was listening to today, and every song, even the song that, like the B-side, probably want a cracker. It's basically talking about interracial shit. Then the 911's a joke, and then of course,
Burn Hollywood, Burn.
That was a great reminder of how powerful that song actually was.
Yeah, man. So, you know, and like I said, that first, the way that first track just comes in after the intro, like I was literally in the street and I was doing the S1W, fam. I was just like, yo, people probably thought I was fucking nuts. But the way that album, like, I think now I appreciate it way more than I did at that time because hip hop is so fucking dope.
It's not only that, like the life experience that Chuck D was talking about at that time, we had no concept.
We didn't really know
who the things that he was talking about. Yeah. We didn't experience them. We hadn't learned some of about them yet.
Yeah.
Some of them. Like, you know what line always resonates with me? I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. Said they were suckers. They wanted me for the army or whatever. Like, because I remember when people were like signing up for the military.
Yeah.
And I, one of my boys decided he did not want to go into the Afghanistan war. So he and one of his boys decided to pretend that they were a couple and they got out of it.
Wow.
So, but that was real. That was real.
Wow.
This is my boo.
Prove it.
I don't know how far they had to go, but
yeah. All right. Pull out his cock. Let me see you touch it. Oh, man.
Right here in the office.
Right here in the office. Let me see you do it. If you can, you'll do it. Oh, anyway.
He's a retired police officer now, but listen,
so that's This Week in Hip Hop. That album again dropped on April 10th, 1990, changed the world, changed a lot of opinions for people. That time in hip hop really just got me wanting to read and learn some things between KRS, Rakim, PE. It was X-Clan. It just made you want to pick up a book and be like, why is the world so fucked up? And I'm only 17, 18 years old at this point.
And it's absolutely true.
And there was a level of consciousness that you wanted to tap into.
Yes. And that's the reason why they destroyed hip hop. But
that's what I miss most about that era is that everything you were listening to was entertaining and educational. Like,
yes,
I had no idea who Shirley Chisholm was.
Yeah.
Until I heard Chuck D mention.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I thought that was Biz.
Oh,
Biz. Reagan was the
he did it first.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still wasn't checking for it when Biz said it.
Shout out to Biz Markie, the late great. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's This Week in Hip Hop.
Decoding 40.
Fellas, what did we learn this week?
You know what I learned? And I was just reminded when you guys said Biz Markie, rest in peace. I think it was last week. Erykah Badu put out a video where she said that every human being experiences two deaths. It's the first one is the physical, when your spirit leaves your body. The second one is when the last person says your name. Mm-hmm. And that has been resonating with me because I think it's important for us to constantly say the names of people who our ancestors and people who have come before us. But yeah.
God damn.
Oh, you fucked me up with that one.
You did.
She got me with that one, too, so thought but I should.
There is going to be 100 years, you know, when no one even is talking about great, great, great granddaddy.
Right.
Leon.
Yeah.
Right.
No doubt. What'd you learn, Rick?
911 is still a joke.
Facts.
No, I don't. I just said that. A joke. I didn't know if I learned that. I have no problem with 911. They seem to respond every time I call now.
you call them with your representative voice?
911, what is your emergency?
Sir, I'm going to need an ambulance.
Shots fired. Shots fired. These niggas are acting crazy around here. Send me an ambulance. I'm the only white man left in Flatbush. Help me. Help me, please. It's getting crazy. It's always been crazy, but it's getting crazier.
Oh. What did I learn this week? What I learned this week is I love hip hop and I love how it just brings me back to places in time and memories. You know, after listening to it, I actually listened to some Tribe and I sent my boy a message and I haven't spoken to him. My man B Rocker from Florida, one of my best friends from Lakeview. And I listened to Lost My Wallet and El Segundo, and it brought back memories because that fool had to have a brown wallet because Q-Tip had a brown wallet. And I just love the way hip hop brings it back.
Yeah.
We was, you know, that was B-Rocka. B-Rocka was crazy like that. But, you know, shout out to hip hop. Shout out to all the memories and allowing me to travel back in time whenever I want to. And that's what I learned today.
Hey, quick fun fact. Q-Tip went to Bertram and they performed Can I Kick It and Push It Along at a, what do you call those? Like a fashion show, talent show type thing.
Wow.
So I always credit Run DMC as my first concert, but technically A Tribe Called Quest was my first concert in high school.
Dopeness. Well, that's the end of the show. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please reach out to us at 619-940-4040. Let us know how the show was. We'd love to hear from you guys. Make sure that you also give us an email if you need to at decoding40@gmail.com. Send us your money at $Decoding40. We need money to keep this show going. Send us a bottle. Send us something.
Don't send us your money. Send us our money.
Yes,
that's my money.
That's my money up
in this JG bubble. Wentworth. And I want it
Who
now.
Does that? Who does that? Anyway, that's a different commercial. It all blends in my head. But that is the show. And like we normally do, we say one word, and that is peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.